Earth date, July 16, AD 2517. Location, Terrano. Galactic position, Scutum Crux Arm.
You can't possibly be serious about attacking Earth.
Why not?
The rising sun might have been a molten copper penny and the sky around it made of gold. The financial district of Norristown no longer bristled with business. War had turned the city into a wasteland. Colonel Philo Hollingsworth and I stood on a hill overlooking the ruins of what once had been the government center for an entire galactic arm, the Scutum Crux Arm.
You're 80,000 light years from Earth. You only have 2,200 Marines under your command. And every last specking one of them blames you for starting the war in the first place. No, let's just be honest. They hate you.
My engineers don't hate me. I had a 1,000-man corps of naval engineers on the planet along with my Marines.
Don't tell me you think they like you.
I didn't mean they liked me. I just wanted to keep our census accurate.
You don't even have any ships left in your fleet. Face it, Harris. The war is over. You lost.
I might have some ships left. Hollingsworth rolled his eyes and said nothing. In the 2 months since the Earth fleet had attacked Terrano, there had been no word from our fleet. Three cranes struggled as they pulled slabs and columns from the wreckage. I walked over to Lieutenant Scott Mars, my chief engineer.
Are you sure your cranes can handle that much weight?
It's fine, sir.
That column isn't too heavy?
Look, General, you worry about the tanks, and I'll take care of the cranes and bulldozers.
He did not come across as hostile, but that did not mean he respected me. Scott Mars had adopted an evangelical lifestyle. He testified about being born again, a claim that the rest of us did not take seriously. He was a clone, just like the rest of us. He could not be born again because he wasn't really born the first time. Mars was universally perky and ready to please, and we got used to him saying praise this and praise that. Everybody liked Mars. The hallelujah chorus was just part of having him around. Seeing that Lieutenant Mars had everything under control, I returned to Hollingsworth to restart our conversation.
There are 15 fighter carriers floating up there. What happened to the other 21?
Even if they got away, they wouldn't have gotten very far. Not with those new UA ships chasing after them. Just for the sake of argument, let's say you have 21 carriers waiting for you. What are you going to do with them? The Unified smashed us when we had 36 carriers. They'll just smash us again.
They didn't smash us down here. We beat their Marines.
You dropped a building on them. You buried them. Next time, they won't be so quick to chase you into an underground garage.
Below us, two of the cranes worked in tandem to hoist a long stretch of outer wall from the ruins of that underground garage.
It doesn't look stable.
You better be grateful for that. We buried 3,000 Unified Authority Marines down there. If it were stable, they might have dug themselves out.
Mars jogged over to join us.
We've dug an entrance, sir. I've got a team ready. Is there anything you want to tell them before I send them in?
No.
Down among the wreckage, five men in soft-shelled armor ventured into the gap that the cranes had opened.
Okay, if you don't mind my asking, sir, do we really need to do this?
I want a better look at their armor.
We're pulling them out to look at their armor?
You worry about the engineering. I'll worry about the ethics.
The General wants to examine their armor for weaknesses.
Why does he care about that?
He wants to know how to get through their armor before his return engagement.
Are they coming back?
Nope. Harris wants to invade Earth.
You're joking, right?
Lieutenant Mars' expression suddenly shifted. Something he'd heard over his headset caught his attention.
They've got one, sir.
Are you certain it's one of theirs?
It's a UA Marine.
Are his shields still up?
No, sir. The suit's gone dark.
Is the armor in one piece?
Good as new.
Let's have a look at it.
A few minutes later, two engineers came out of the ground carrying the dead Marine. They brought the body over so I could examine it. Without the glowing skin of its shields, the dead man's armor looked very much like the combat armor my men wore.
The visor's cracked.
Where? That? That's not a crack, it's a scratch.
I told you, perfect condition.
As long as the visor works.
You have your orders.
Well, we're getting four more sets.
Five more suits. And those five suits had better be perfect, or I'll send them back.
Five suits in perfect condition, aye.
Nearly an hour passed before the engineers returned with their next specimen. I examined the armor. There was no dust on the seals around the shoulder plates. One of Mars' engineers had taken a helmet from one cadaver and added it to the body armor of another. Clever. I pretended not to notice the switch.
Send it to the labs.
Aye, aye, sir.
And, Lieutenant, tell your men to stop with the mix and